So we mentioned last week that there are those who have the custom to add additional candles for every child that's born. I know some women who add for actually every grandchild that's born. Yeah, they have quite a lot. Yeah, then they stop. They decide they're going to do per family, just like for every family, an extra one, because it does get a little much and hot. But the truth is, whatever a person wants to add for whatever reason, some people do it as a schus for a refuah shleimah for someone, but however, whatever one adds, then one can't detract after that. And as once one has taken on a certain amount of candle light, they have to keep to that. If in a case where the wife is away and the husband is lighting, for example, we said if the wife is in the hospital for Shabbos, in the case of a birth or maybe even a different reason, and the husband is home, then he lights at home and the wife doesn't have to light. Because since there is the husband lighting in the house, that is sufficient. How many does he light? He should light the same amount that his wife would have lit. And the same goes by a widower. When he would continue lighting in his own house, even after his wife, landlord, passes away, he would light the same amount as she did when she was lighting.
The wife doesn't light at all? She wouldn't even light two?
In which case?
If
the husband is home and the wife is away, then she really doesn't have to light. Yeah, some of them are meaning anyway to light if they can and it's convenient. If it's easy, they can.
You mentioned, you know, boys in yeshiva having a mitzvah of lighting. What about girls who are away? Because, like, I asked Rabbi whether my daughter should light, and they said, like, not till she's married, but she wouldn't be married, she might be away. Or
if she's living on her own, then she has her own obligation to light.
So it's not, it has nothing to do with being married.
Right. That's right. Yeah, unless they're living at home or they're staying by someone else's home. So if they're let's say, a boarder by someone else. So then they're considered part of that household and they're exempt with the lighting of that household. But if they're on their own, have their own room and board, and certainly if their own apartment where they sleep in, even if they would eat out somewhere, they should preferably light in their own place. And then, okay, we'll get to that in terms of... making sure. Okay, let's get to that right now. We'll come back to these other halachos.
Can I just get clarification on something? There's a single girl who's living away. While she was living at home, she didn't have to light candles.
Right.
It's only because she's now in a home, a household, where the candles aren't being lit.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore she takes that on for her own household.
Because the obligation is on the house.
Household.
Right,
okay.
On the household.
So she can do it or anybody else in the household can do it?
That's correct.
Even though she's not married?
That's correct.
So she was living with a couple of girls in an apartment, all unmarried.
So one of them lights for everyone.
Everybody.
That's right.
How many?
However many girls there are in the apartment.
How many candles?
Oh, how many candles?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh. two candles, just two, yeah. Zohar v'Shomer. Yes, and we mentioned last week, It could be even one. What we used to do when I was dorming, we had an apartment in Eretz Yisrael, some bachrim in the Mir. We had our own apartment to sleep in, but we used to eat out all different places. And by the time we'd come back home to our apartment to sleep, could have been very late, and we were worried that it would not be lit anymore. And that is a real problem, because when one lights the candles, they have to benefit from the light of the candles. So you could accomplish that one of two ways. Either before you leave the house, it's already after it's dark, where you would normally benefit if there wouldn't be any electricity, you would benefit from those lights. So one should take care to benefit from those lights and even daven by the candles or read by the candles before leaving the house. So that's very pertinent when you're going to eat out somewhere. So you should leave late enough that you actually benefit from the candles after it's dark. If that's not possible because you're going away right after you light candles. You have to go meet somebody. You have to go to shul. So then, if you're coming back to your own house, we're talking about where you're staying home, you're sleeping at home that Shabbos. So then, when you return home, you have to make sure that they are still lit. In other words, you have to get long enough candles that they're still lit. So that's why I say, when I used to be in the my apartment in Eretz Yisrael, we used to buy the Yahrzeit candles. And, well, we're not going to use a whole Yahrzeit candle, so that's a lot of money. So we used to cut it in half. And cut the wick. And you cut the wick. So you get the wick on the bottom half of the Yahrzeit candle and the wick on the top of it. But then your Yahrzeit candle lasts if that's 24 hours, the half of it, even if it's not so even, but you get a nice 8 hours, if you out of it. So that's really, or if you light with oil, so you put enough oil that it should still be lit when you come back to your house.
Why didn't you just opt for the light bulb thing? Because two reasons. One is you probably aren't paying for your electricity there. So,
yeah.
No, seriously, if you're doing that, it seems, God forbid, clear like a sakana to light something that you know is going to stay forever. Because it's scary. I mean, unfortunately, God forbid, we've all heard stories, and to light something that you know is going to be going for hours because nobody's going to come home, that's scary. So why wouldn't you opt for just the light bulb thing?
So you told me even you're in the person's own home? They're nervous to leave candles on.
No.
So you put it in a place.
Saying, you know specifically, you're cutting this candle in half, it'll be lit for like 8 to 10 hours.
We were pretty careful about it. You put it in a safe place, and you put it in a tin foil, an aluminum foil, aluminum pan. And you put some water in the bottom of the pan.
Oh, that's
cool. Yeah, it's all sorts of things, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you're right. The Bachrim, they figure out everything. They can figure out how to cook pizza with an iron, you know. So they can figure out everything. That's right. That's right. And yeah, so that's very important. That's very important that you must benefit from the candles. Otherwise, it could be a concern of a bracha levatala. If one lights the candles before it's dark, leaves the house, comes home, and it's not lit anymore, it really was a bracha levatala. So this one has to be careful when they're eating out that they have to benefit.
So when you come home, then you walk
so
over.
So you walk over, you can enjoy them that way, you can read by them, you have to have some enjoyment. So normally when they're in your house and they're at the place where you're eating or the room that you're eating, so you benefit that way.
If we're eating out and it's possible, I could go to that person's house and light there.
Yeah, so that's not lachatchila. That's not preferable to light over there, because that's not really your house. It's just it's a stopover that you're eating there. Preferably to light in your own house. So there is, Mrs. Sved mentioned, why not go electric?
Right.
Okay. So there is a machlokis in the poskim whether electric bulbs can also be considered valid for lighting candles. And it was known that Reb Chaim Eizer Grudzinski, the Rav of Vilna, used to make Havdalah, the candle for Havdalah, used to use electricity. And the reason why he did that, incidentally, was because, actually, not to say that you can be lenient and just use a bulb for Havdalah, for the candle and Havdalah, but rather because he wanted to impress upon people that about turning on and off lights, that this is considered as if you're lighting a fire. So to show this is a real fire, he used to say, look, I would make Havdalah on this. So that was his purpose. So Reb Chaim Eizer and other Peskim did validate electric lights for Hadlokas near Shabbos. Hanukkah does not work for a whole host of reasons. Hanukkah will not work, the electric menorahs. That for sure it won't work.
But a
Yahrzeit candle?
Oh,
Yahrzeit bulb, you mean?
Yeah,
Yahrzeit. Yeah. Also, for Hanukkah, that won't work. But for Shabbos, an electric bulb, many places can say it will work. Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked, he said it's no good, but there are those who do permit it. And those who permit it even to make a bracha on it. So it's only as a last resort. For example, a woman is in the hospital, her husband is home, who lights?
He does.
The husband lights at home. With candles. Let's say they're too far away and he's also in the hospital overnight. He's asleep in the hospital. can't light with, they're not going to let you cut a yahrzeit candle in half and let it burn. No, nothing close to that. So if they give you the electric menorah, whatever they call it, you can use that, and actually you can make a bracha on that. If they don't do that, you can shut the lights off in the room and then turn them on with that, having in mind that that's going to be your Shabbos candles. So that's as a last resort if you don't have anything else and no one else that is home that could light for you. This is also in a case like people, let's say, go to a hotel, and they go to a resort, right? And there's one communal, you go to a Sheva Brachas, it's a weekend bar mitzvah. Everyone's put up in the various rooms, and there's no way they're going to let you light candles over there. So if you have your electric lights, you can bring that along. You can use that in your own room. Because the light in the communal place where people light, it's unfortunately not halakhically sound. I leave at 10:15, but that's okay. The problem is they try to sort of get it out of the way. A, because it becomes very hot, it could be a fire hazard. So the dining room is in one place, and they have your light like down the hall somewhere or outside the dining room. So the first problem is there are so many lights over there that no one's benefiting from them. Once the first person lights, it's you don't even know where yours are, you know, unless you have a low jack on your candles, you know. And that's A. And B, you're not benefiting from them because they're not in the place where you are for the rest of Shabbos. You light right before Shabbos, then you go into the dining room, and the same issue is when you light at home and you have no benefit from the light. So that's a real problem. So what I have my wife do in those situations is when she's ready to light candles, to turn on the lights in the room, sometimes just the bathroom. Because if it's a small room, you don't want to keep the light on in the room. Or if some people don't like a nightlight in the room even. So you just turn on the lights in the bathroom, having in mind that that's going to be part A of her Hadlakas Neiros, then go to the communal place and light the candles as well.
So where do you say the
bracha? Nothing wrong with lighting the candles there, but the bracha will be on both.
But where do you say the bracha?
In your room.
No, the bracha is anyway after you light it.
So you, after you light the bathroom, what, you turn it on, then you say the bracha, and then you go to the communal one?
No. No. You turn on the light in the room. Yeah. Then you go and light your candles, those tea lights, in the communal place, and make the bracha, and have in mind both.
How much of a benefit is enough? For instance, last time we lit, it was the room where they davened. We know that after we left, they were moving it. But we're assuming. I mean, what are they going to leave it there for?
Right.
But that was the room specifically where everybody was davening. So at least until they almost, you know, like halfway through, they were being that kind of a benefit. So what?
I mean, that would be enough of a benefit if it would be not a great situation. It would be enough of a benefit if that would be, let's say, my house. And or that will be the place where we eat, and they will be on the table where we eat, and we know they're going to take it away afterward. That I can't help that, but I've benefited from that. But being in shul in a place, not a great situation. But this I think is always a good eitzah. As always, you're in some place that has electricity. Turn on the electricity with in mind that that's going to be my lights for Shabbos, as well as wherever you're going to light it. Then have a mind for both.
So. Since it's very pertinent, if our show has a dinner Friday night, should we have a communal lighting or shouldn't we?
Oh, that's easy. You ask your rabbi.
How long does the lights need to be?
No, so in that case, the best thing would do, the best thing, and I don't know, practically it's not so easy, but everyone should have their own lights on their own table. Unless it's going to be round tables, 10 round tables. If everyone can have their lights on the table...
Oh, we can't do that because the table has to be cleared. So.
Then it has to be cleared. And
we usually just do it in a table off to the side of the room where we're eating.
Yeah. You could ask your rabbi. What I would tell my wife to do in that case... is she should light and not make a bracha.
At home?
No. You're talking about everybody comes to shul beforehand, you have a dinner, Friday night dinner in the shul.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So you're not home anymore.
Right.
So your only opportunity is to light the candles over there.
You're not seeing brunch at all?
That's what I would tell my wife.
But some people
have
the menthol that they light where they eat.
Yes. No, I understand that. And that's even, that's also preferable.
So if your wife is, or you obviously together, are eating at that place, why would you ask her not to light? And sorry, why would you ask her not to light?
Because we're talking about in a case where there's like a communal table. Everyone's just lighting off to the side. So that's not really where you're eating. You don't even see the candles. You don't benefit from the candles. If it would be on the table, I've tried that before in hotels. I've tried that, just like to slip in two tea lights just on the table. No, we weren't so successful. But that would be okay. That's where I'm eating, no different than my house.
Yeah, I light them like on that table on the side, but it sounds like I should have them on the table.
No, in the room, that's certainly according to everyone. That's fine. That is in the room. You can still say the tefillah even if you light, even if you don't make the bracha. Now you could still daven by the candles. You could daven it forever you want, even if you don't make the bracha.
But you can do that when it's already Shabbos too. Like that's also, yeah. You know.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I'm just saying that to light the candles is the mitzvah. A bracha is almost never ma'akev on the mitzvah.
So basically, the reason you were saying last week not to light and then remember, oh, I forgot to turn the oven off, I forgot to do this, that, and the other thing, is because if you're not making any type of thing that I'm lighting or whatever, you're basically, you've
accepted Shabbos.
Yeah.
You accept the Shabbos, yes.
So
in the case of, normally we accept, the woman accepts the Shabbos with the bracha, not with the lighting. In this case, she would accept it with the lighting. Right.
A question. So we know that using the light is opposite the Hanukkah, right? You're not allowed to benefit from the light. So we know that
right. It's
not necessary to benefit from light every time you light a candle. So in the beginning, so last week when you talked about the mitzvah and you gave the different sources for it, nowhere in those sources did it go on to say, and you should have a benefit from the light. So where does the source for having benefit from the light come from?
Well, one of the Onik Shabbos. We get three reasons. One is covered Shabbos for honor for the, that I don't have to benefit, for honor for the Shabbos Malka that's coming. One is Shalom Bayis, which is actually pure benefit. There should be light in the house, so I should be able to see my way around. That's benefit. And Onik Shabbos is to give me pleasure in when I'm eating and what I'm doing on Shabbos.
Okay. How long do the candles need to stay lit?
There's no amount of time. It just has to be lit after Shabbos. And actually, that's very relevant when one makes an early Shabbos. When one makes an early Shabbos, it's preferable that they should burn long enough past nightfall. And as in, even though you're lighting maybe an hour and a half before that, it's best that they should be lit and continue being lit after that time.
So if I just guess, like in a hotel situation, they have those like very slender candles that basically burn out in a matter of minutes. And that way, you could use that as, you could benefit from them instead of having to light in a communal place. Is that, in a room for 3 minutes while you're going to be there? I mean, a fire in a room for 3 minutes from two slender candles, is that a viable option or no?
You're talking about lighting in your room?
Lighting
in your room. How long are they going to burn for?
That's what I was saying.
Well, it has to be after it gets dark.
So
from when you light, it would have to be at least a half hour until...
I was told that shortly after I had my fire, I was scared to leave candles to go out for a meal, and mm-hmm. I was told light Hanukkah candles. Sit and watch them.
Oh,
enjoy.
Okay. So those burn for about a half hour. Yeah.
Then I could leave and go to my dinner.
That's right, because then it's already set to start.
In those
dark
days, it was still safe to walk.
Ah, okay.
But what about when you have a ceiling fan on? Because even though you have air conditioning, sometimes it's very hot and you have a fan on. And your flame flickers more than normal, which means the candle's burning a little faster. As long as it lasts till after dark,
yeah,
it's
you're
still
fine.
Okay, even though it's fast.
Yeah.
It goes in.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if that's the room where you're eating,
yeah,
the ceiling fan.
Yes. Actually, you have to be careful. Let's say your lights are on and it gets hot. And you say, no, I'm just going to open the window to let things cool off. that is not permissible to do. Because if you're opening the window, you're causing the... And if the candles are in that line, then you're causing the candles to go out. If
we had Jeff Benzo fire in the house because of Michelle's candles. Hmm?
By opening a window?
I guess it was somehow near the area and caught fire.
Yeah, so not a good idea anyhow. But from a halakhic perspective as well. Okay. In the in terms of what to light with, I think we mentioned in passing last week that even though it is hard to classify what it would be called someone who lights with Shemen Zayas, with olive oil, from a purely halakhic standpoint, there's no benefit in oil over candles nowadays. Candles burn just as well. They illuminate just as fine, or if not better, than Shemen Zayis. Also, the Shemen Zayis that would be preferable, we don't even have today, that pure olive oil. And from a pure halakhic standpoint, there is no benefit for one to light with oil over candles. Maybe in a from a Kabbalistic standpoint, it could be it is meritorious to use oil. So what some do is they use two oil and the rest candles. Either way, whatever a person's minig is, either one is really fine.
Do you have to stay with one or the other?
I don't think so. No.
Which means if you light candles and go to somebody else's house and they light oil, so at their house...
Oh, for sure. No, that's for sure.
Do you light your own regular candles, or do you use oil, or does it matter?
Either one. Either one. Doesn't matter. And you could switch back when you come up. Yeah, certainly.
I always use tea lights. They feel the safest.
Continue.
They're broad-based and short.
Okay, so there's one I like about lighting candles that no one likes to hear about, and that is... What is it? And that is, what happens if you forget?
Forget to light?
Right.
I never forgot.
I did once.
What happens if you forget to light?
It actually happened when I was traveling.
You have to add another candle.
So if you forget to light, so for the rest of your life, you have to add a candle. So one lights two candles every week, and that's the standard. They've never added to those two. So for now, they have to light three candles the rest of their life. If one has been lighting 12 candles, so now they light 13 candles for the rest of their life.
So this is literally forgetting, not making it.
Well, huh? Same thing.
No, someone who, you're really busy. You come close to time, and you meant to light it, and you just realize it's
late. Oh, okay. Someone who forgot. Someone just who forgot to light. Okay.
I went to sleep an hour before Shabbos. I slept for 3 hours. I woke up. It was already way dark.
Yeah, but it's rare.
And that's not okay, because I have a cousin that did that.
Okay.
I called and I got up stop, and I was told light a third candle.
Okay.
Okay.
So the Mishneh Berurah does write that this is only if one forgot. That means one is sort of negligent in that they forgot to light. And why did they forget? Because... they were engrossed in a good book, or they were just too busy taking care of the things around the house for Shabbos, and they forgot. What he classifies as an onus, if something extreme happens that one forgot, then that's not considered forgetting in terms of penalizing the woman to have to light now for an extra candle for now on. Okay, so what is that case?
That's not, if somebody just genuinely forgets, kind of like, that's not considered the onus, right?
Someone genuinely forgets, no, then they have to light an extra one.
Oh.
Right. That's forgetting.
Right, okay.
That is forgetting.
If some child got sick and you have to tend to the child, and all of a sudden you didn't realize it's Shabbos. So that's an emergency, but it's not really forgetting.
Okay, so in each case, we'll have to be asked this separately, you know, different cases that are given, if one is gave enough time to their trip to get to their place on their Shabbos, and then they get stuck in a traffic jam, and therefore they don't make it home in time to light. Yeah, and this happens. That's a whole separate question what one should do. But let's say they know what to do, and then it's past Shkia, and they have a non-Jew driving the car home for them. They come, and they can't light anymore. right? So in that case, it's not they didn't forget. They were totally conscious that they have to light candles. The problem is they weren't in a position to do so. Or someone 20 minutes before Shabbos, something happens, have to rush to the hospital with someone. They couldn't light, right? So in such a case, that's an onus. You'll have to ask your own question. If you went to sleep an hour before Shabbos and slept for 3 hours, is that considered an onus? It's not like I forgot. I just, you know, the alarm didn't go off. I didn't hear the alarm. That could be considered an onus. Everyone should ask a separate question in that case.
If you're in somebody else's household and you forget, like you're sleeping there.
I don't know the answer to that. I had that question. Mm-hmm. Because technically speaking, if you're in someone else's household for Shabbos, even a married couple who goes to a different married couple's house for Shabbos, technically speaking, they don't have to light because they're part of that household. Our custom is the minigives you light anyhow. So in that case, if they forget, do they have to? I would think they do have to. But I'm going to double check that one. Because the purpose is that if they actually forgot, and that normally they would light as their custom is, so then they should be in that knas. We have to penalize them that they should never forget again. They should be careful with the hadlakas neiros. That's what I would think. An interesting case is, what happens if... What happens if someone has the electric lights on, the electricity on, and they forgot to light candles? So they set everything up, and they set the Shabbos clock, and they put on the lights for Shabbos, and then they forgot to light the candles. So it's clear from the Chafetz Chaim and the Bir Halacha that one would still have to light an extra one. That's considered forgetting. However, what happens if one usually lights 7 candles? And for some reason, they only lit 6. Maybe the leichter was set up differently, they only lit 6. So do they have to light an extra one? In that case, they don't have to light an extra one. And as long as you have the minimum amount, you don't have to light if you fall short. Where that could be, someone sometimes, the first week after they have a baby, if their minig is to add an extra light, sometimes people forget that. You know, that first, depending where it falls out in the week and how much time they have to think about it, sometimes they'll forget, like, oh, I was supposed to light an extra one. So you don't have to light an extra 2 then, unless it's twins, because we don't penalize a person if they at least lit the minimum amount. So too, if someone forgot to lit on Yom Tov, which is also could be more common than Shabbos because of the different schedules. If you forget to light on Yom Tov, and you go through the whole Yom Tov, the next morning you wake up, I didn't light candles, like I was in the sukkah and we made kiddush, I didn't light candles. You don't have to light again an extra one for the remainder of your life.
Can't you light whenever again?
Well, that's one of the reasons, that we don't have to penalize the person because there's no rush to light because you could light on Yom Tov.
But can you light?
Of course you can, yes.
I'm saying if you remember at midnight that you forgot to light on Yom
Tov. Yeah. If you wake up in a fret and you realize you didn't light, you could light then.
And what about 7?
But then you have to benefit from them. Yeah, then you have to, huh?
The next day you remembered when you got up.
That's no, that's too late. It has to be,
has to be at night. When
it has to
dark,
be at night,
right?
Yes.
I know in Israel, when I was living there, on Yom Tov, everybody, all the women would light only, like, when the men came home.
On Yom Tov. Yeah, that's different from Menhagim. On Yom Tov, people light before Yom Tov or on Yom Tov. Yeah.
No, the man forgets to say Shimon Esrei. He just says an extra one that day. He doesn't say an extra Shimon Esrei the rest of his life.
Because men don't respond.
Women don't. Oh, thanks. All right.
Because the man, he's doing that all the time. I mean, this is different. I mean, we also say an extra Shimon Esrei if we don't daven in the morning. And we don't do it for the rest of our lives. We just do it for the minute. So it's not...
Do you have an answer?
Your question was about if a man forgets Shemona Esrei.
I'm just saying that they're
yeah, that's a different halach. That's a din of Tashlumen. That's making up. We don't penalize the person. Well, that by davening an extra Shemona Esrei is that you have a chance to make up by the subsequent tefillah, by the next tefillah, you have a chance to make up for the one missed. Here, this is just in order for the woman to be careful for the rest of her life about lighting candles. They said you have to light an extra one. Or because she wasn't careful that one time, they penalize her for that reason. This is it sometimes happens if in a case, let's say, someone was stuck in traffic and they come home after Shkia, or they just forgot and now it's Shkia, or they had to go to the hospital and they came home late and it's after Shkia. So you can, during Bein Hashmashos, and we'll say for all practical purposes, for the, let's say, a half hour, in this case, for 1/2 hour after sunset, after Shkia, you can ask a non-Jew to light the candles for you. We mentioned, I think, last week, you don't make a bracha since someone else is lighting, but you can have a non-Jew light the candles for you. In that case, since you actually didn't forget because you had the candles lit, you don't have to light an extra one for the remainder of your life if you did get a guy to light the candles.
So if someone's coming to your house and they call you that they're really stuck in traffic, and they might come, you know, hopefully, within the 18 minutes, can you light the candle for them?
No, within the 18 minutes, they could still light themselves.
Well, if they came in, the lamp is not time to walk in the door into light, but I'm saying, can I light for somebody else and they come in? I mean, they're not going to have time to actually walk in the door with all their luggage. They have to get the luggage out of the car and to walk in. So it's still within the 18 minutes. Can I light the candle? But they don't necessarily have to say the bracha. I don't really have to light because you said everybody doesn't have to.
It's the lighting, it's the mitzvah, not the bracha.
Right, but
so
if
you light
that,
it, it's your mitzvah.
Yeah, but just saying, you said that they don't necessarily have to light if they're staying with us.
Right, technically, if they're staying with you anyways, they're really they're enjoined in your candles anyways.
Okay, so you would. You have to have them in mind.
Right. Yeah, so you would have them in mind. You don't even have to have them in mind if you know they're coming. It's automatic that they're part of your household.
Yeah,
yes. Yeah.
I don't know. We don't have to light. You're lighting.
Do you have to keep them in mind?
It's automatically they're in mind. If you know they're coming to your house, so you're lighting for the household, whoever's there, whoever's coming for Shabbos.
What if clearly you didn't realize the time, which could happen, I guess anywhere, but it could happen in Eretz Yisrael if you think you have more time, because Yerushalayim time is listed, and then you catch on your head, well, I've got this much time, and then all of a sudden you realize, oh my gosh, I didn't really have that time at all. So what happens if you light, and, I mean, I heard different things that there's really, and maybe it's just to Israel and not here, but there's a longer time there?
Well, here we light approximately 18 minutes before sunset. That's the minig in America. Right. In our Yerushalayim, the minig is 40 minutes before sunset.
So, I understand that.
So, you really, if you forget for the first 25 minutes, of course you can still light.
No, before. But why? They said it's like, this sounds really stupid, but it sounds like there's a longer sunset process.
It's actually a shorter sunset.
No, I understand they start earlier. I'm not, but if you look at the Jerusalem Post, when Shabbos is out, not adding on anybody's whatever, you know, 17 minutes, an extra, you know, 48 minutes, whatever it is.
Right.
But if you, all the sunset, when Shabbos is out, does not correspond to actual candle lighting time plus 18 minutes.
Right.
In any of the cities.
Right.
Forget Yerushalayim.
Right.
So how is that possible?
Because Bein Hashmashos is shorter in Eretz Yisrael. It's quicker.
Oh, so there is a different time. Oh,
yes.
They're closer to the equator. So it's a different amount of time.
What takes here for us from when it's sunset until we consider Vaday Laila, it's absolute nightfall, is roughly 45 minutes, let's say. 40 minutes, 45 minutes. And it's the equivalent to that in Eretz Yisrael is like 20 minutes. So that is the difference, yeah.
Yeah. Could I just back up? I just need clarification on the non-Jew lighting. So if the non-Jew lights during...
Bein Hashmashos.
Then... You say that's an option. What does that option get you out of? Not having to light an extra candle?
Well, I guess two things. First of all, it gives you the mitzvah of having candles in your house that Shabbos. And secondly, it gets you out of not having to light an extra candle for the rest of your life.
So you just go ask your neighbor if they could...
If they're not Jewish.
But can you ask them? Or you?
Yes, and you anything...
Can you directly ask them?
Yes, yes. And I think we have more classes after this one.
Yes,
we do. So maybe we'll discuss Amira La'akum, what you're allowed to and what you're not allowed to tell non-Jews to do for you on Shabbos. And in that case, you can directly tell a non-Jew.
Is that the only thing that you can directly ask? Everything else.
That and a few other things.
Oh really?
So lighting late and forgetting are the same thing.
Lighting late?
Yeah,
lighting. No, if lighting late is you actually lit, then you're saved.
But if you lit late, If you light late, aside from...
What is lighting late? You, instead of 18 minutes before, you lit 3 minutes before?
No, no, I'm just asking, what if...
No, like 2 minutes after.
Yeah, like you run in for whatever reason.
And you
your clock was wrong, and you kind of lit when maybe you really... It was too late.
You lit, but... Where's the... You know, it's like you forgot. You know, it's like you were busy this, you were busy that. Okay, but with the best of intentions, you know, you look.
In that case, you wouldn't have to.
You don't like the extra candle. Right. You just do your whatever.
Right.
I light a lot less candles, really, than I do, because I had that situation, and I lit, and it was really questionable. I think I asked Rabbi Kaplan, so I light when. And then before, when I was just learning about stuff, and I was going to somebody's house, and I arrived late, and I couldn't light. So I didn't really ask, but I heard that rule, oh, you have to light an extra candle. And that was like 10, 11 years ago. So I've been lighting one all these years. Rabbi Kaplan said it was very questionable whether I had to light or not, but I didn't ask him the question, so should I not light that extra candle anymore? So that's a question, and then I had that situation.
No, what I would say is that if for some reason Hashem wants you to light this amount of candles, it's a good thing, and you should keep with it.